Thank you for joining us on More Than That, a podcast where we dive a little bit deeper into what was preached on Sunday morning. We hope that this is enriching to your walk with Christ and that you love God and people that much more so that we can extend the glory of God to the people he has placed in our lives. So buckle up and enjoy the conversation.
Hey everybody, welcome to More Than That, where every single week we get to take some time to ask the preacher if they had a little bit more they needed to say during the sermon, something maybe they even thought about later on. And once again, this is a supplement to not the sermon itself. So make sure you go and listen to the sermon. But we always like to pick the brains of the person that preached the sermon. So this week it wasn't me, it was Larry, which is really just an exciting time for me every single week. Every single week when Larry preaches or when Gus preaches, just to get to hear just the rich voices we have here at City Church. So, Larry, I have one question for you. If you had 10 more minutes, what would you have said in your sermon?
Yeah, it's funny you say that because I felt like I had to take out 10 minutes in my preparation. And one of the things the point that I was making in the beginning, and I think we don't think about it that much, about how important law is by nature. We don't like law. Law to us seems kind of restrictive. And yet, to look at the examples where there is lawlessness, how terrible that is. And I use the example of William Golding's book, Lord of the Flies. But I was tempted to use another example, which I'll share now, which would take a little bit longer to explain. But with my own three small children, I had three children in 5 years. And actually, my wife had something to do with it, too. So we had two of us had these three children. And unfortunately, Debbie and I did not agree on child rearing.
Yeah.
Debbie believed more in a strict environment, And I was sort of like, kids, let kids be kids. Let's just let them be a little, do their kid thing. And so the children, even at a young age, learned very quickly that when mama's around, they had to have a little bit less restraint. I mean, they had to be a little more restrained in what they did. And with dad, it was a little bit more of a party, hardy, marty attitude. And Debbie was upset with me about this because she said, they think they can have more fun around you and it's not fair and blah, blah, blah. And I was, and it was also, it was confusing to them because now when both of us are around, what's the standard of behavior?
Yeah.
And I just thought to myself, we have a problem that we've got it. And so I kept praying about this. And then one day I had this revelation. I am the father. I had to start acting like it. So I decided that we were going to have stout family laws of love. We are going to give them laws that we will now abide by as a family. And so my five laws were, number one, we will always be serious for family prayer and devotions. Now that had to do with even how they would act at church, but we felt if they didn't behave themselves at home, then they're certainly not going to behave at church. So that was to teach reverence, if you will. Law number two, you will always obey your mommy and daddy first time they speak. Mm-hmm. Well, they had learned to respond after the third time because if you say, pick up your toys, time to go to bed, they play, play, play.
Yeah.
I said, pick up your toys, play, play, play. This is it. The third time, then they respond. So we thought, no, we're going to make it first time. So that they don't, and we are going to have to enforce that. Then the third was we will never hurt one another, which had to do more with the boys at sometimes, but even harsh words, it could be anything, physical or verbal. We'll always tell the truth. We will always keep our rooms or house clean and neat. So, you know, these were the five laws. We recited them at every meal. We made posters of them and put them in the bedrooms.
Yeah.
We had a best room contest on Fridays that we'd take votes on whose was the best room, but you couldn't vote for your own. So it got to the point where one time a pastor friend of mine was visiting, and my two boys were just kind of playing around, and it looked like it was getting a little rough, and I said, number three, and they just stopped and moved away from each other, just instinctively, and the guy said, number three, what is that? And I said, oh, it's one of our family laws. But the point was, they were comfortable within those confines. They knew what was expected. They knew that if they went outside that, there were going to be consequences. They were safe in the law. And if we had that kind of attitude about God's law, God has given us these laws not to punish us, but to help us in our lives. And that was sort of the point I was trying to get at in the thing. The other thing I wanted to mention is that, and I discovered in my research, a quote from Francis Schaeffer, who wrote a book in 1970. Actually, it was published January 1st, according to the thing, 1970, called The Church at the End of the 20th Century. And I've always found this book fascinating because he was so right about so many things. But this is on page 97 of all things. I was reading through it, and I just got so excited about this.
Yeah.
Because he was talking about things that were going to happen. He said, what is going to be put in its place? Very soon, all of us will be living in the electronic village hooked up to a huge computer, and we'll be able to know what everyone else in the world thinks, which is very much like the worldwide net. The majority opinion will become law in that hour. Now think about that. The majority opinion will be what's law. So law is going to be what people want or what a certain group of people are going to do. And he talks about what the majority at that moment says is right. So this is why we have what we have today, I think, is because we have no sense of law.
Yeah.
What we have is a certain group of people that push a certain thing to which others say, yes, okay, we agree with that. And now that becomes the standard. And as a result, we have this fluid sort of morality that really is unstable. And we don't realize the fact that the very things that they are championing today, tomorrow are going to seem wrong.
Yeah.
And they're going to, and now those, the champions of today are going to be mystified how what has happened in coming, because there are no standards. Law is God's gift to mankind. That was what I was emphasizing, and that's what Romans 13 really emphasized, that as much as we don't like it, law has a place, and it needs to be respected.
That's good. That is good. I loved how at least like you know, just like looking at this and just seeing someone who wrote something in 1970, how now, like we are now stuck at this place where we need to reintroduce the value and the weight of the law.
Yeah.
But then I also loved how at least you spent some time kind of bringing now into, like, the New Testament is not, you know, we emphasize by grace we are saved, but then also, like, the importance of the ordinances. That was God.
It was Zacchaeus, boundaries. Such a good example. Yeah, he still had to, you know, had to do the retribution part.
Yeah,
yes,
the boundaries on how we should live. Yeah, like I just kind of felt a really big shift as you were talking about communion. You want to kind of just talk about that, like, and just like, I know that there was a lot of weight.
Well, I
just
do.
Like when you finally got to that text.
Well, it's because the text in 1 Corinthians 11, he's really warning them. Communion is serious.
Yeah.
Communion is the time that we are showing that we are submitting our hearts to the Lord Jesus Christ, recognizing His sacrifice for us. There's no works righteousness at all. It doesn't matter. And he kind of was talking earlier about, it's not even just meant to be as a festive meal to which the rich people get to eat first and then the other. No.
Yeah.
The simplicity of it, just the bread and a cup, symbolizes Christ's blood and body. And then he gets into the following, emphasizing the fact that if you do it wrongly, and unfortunately people today think, well, I've sinned this week, so I don't deserve to take communion. No, that is not what Paul is getting at.
Yeah, I was going to ask you that.
That
is
so wrong. And I know sometimes people think they're being so holy by not taking communion. Oh, yes, I'm going to just sit here because I don't think I'm... No, please.
Because you're defaulting to your works.
Yes, exactly. You got it all screwed up. No. If you think that by taking communion, it's because you deserve it, or in some way you're not recognizing what it is. If you just want to blend in with everybody because you think it's going to make you look holy or whatever, the Lord may choose to chastise you because don't take this lightly.
Yeah.
This ordinance has been around for 2,000 years. There's a reason why we still take communion today. What other practices, other than preaching the gospel, that do we have that have lasted 2,000 years? I mean, it's, and baptism as well. But I mean, these things are important. These things are critical. And Scripture does give you warnings that I think we should pay attention to. And we probably ought to mention those. We might want to just maybe once every 6 months read the rest of 1 Corinthians 11 to remind people. This matters. It really does matter. Maybe it's as I get older. I think these things that we kind of take for granted, I find myself finding them weightier than I did when I was younger.
Yeah. And the beauty of that text, even though it's got weighty warnings on there, is the fact that it's also very, it's calling you back to that oneness.
Yes.
I loved it when you say that communion is preparing towards judgment.
That's really what it is.
But it's preparing towards judgment where you are going to be able to stand if you fully relied on Jesus, not on your works. Then he says, come in,
welcome.
Enjoy. Basically every single week, then we're really practicing that God, that gospel.
Amen.
Welcome.
Beautiful.
But thank you so much for serving us. And
thank you for giving me such a wonderful passage of Scripture to unpack and delight in. It was wonderful. Thank you so much.
That's
called sarcasm.
It
was a bit of a tough passage, but it blessed me as I went through it. Really, honestly, it helped me revalue my own, what the law means and why I should. You don't understand the gospel if you don't understand law.
Yeah. I like weeks like this because they are really stretching. Mm-hmm. At City Church, we believe the word of God is powerful. So we keep running to, even when the passages are hard,
we
go towards
still
them.
The word of God. Amen.
But yeah, so thank you so much for serving us.
Thank you, brother.
Thank you so much for listening to More Than That. We pray that this is a blessing to you. And this will continue to help you grow in your faith. So thank you. We'll see you on Sunday.